Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the weekly Art and Culture programme. Each week we take a look at new additions to the ever-growing cultural landscape of the region. From art exhibitions to musical performances, dance, publications, books, events, films, and much, much more. Well, this week we start the show with music and a question. Well, according to the Connoisseur's Guide and Forbes in 2006, they were asking, what's 300 years old, made of wood, and easily outperforms most mutual funds? You know the answer? Well, apparently it is a Stradivari violin. And to tell us more about this extraordinary instrument, I'm going to be welcoming Lawrence Asadurian, who is an agent in the Middle East for Strad Europe. It's a specialised in the fine, rare-stringed instrument investment market, who offer, through their consultancy, the unique chance to purchase violins, violas and cellos crafted by Antonio Stradivari. So what makes this instrument so very special? How many are there out there in the world? And how can you look after them? That's all coming up, my first guest this afternoon on The Edge. Well, also in the first hour, around 12:30, Ramadan is just around the corner. It's apparently going to be next week. And to guide us through the important etiquette related to this holy month, I'm going to be speaking with Miss Maya Mazloum, who's the head of the Arabic department at the Eton Institute. And then coming up in the second hour, Vida Risk, who's the principal founder of Aflamna. It's just recently launched, actually, and Aflamna is a digital platform that helps independent filmmakers, artists, scientists, students, innovators, thinkers, and many more people to raise funds for their projects by getting people excited enough to financially support their idea so they can make it happen. But how does this work, this idea of crowdsourcing or crowdfunding? Well, Vida will be giving us all the details. And then coming up around 1:30, it's on to books. And our reader this week is Leslie Cully. She's the founder of Buckle Up in the Back campaign. She will be reviewing The Guilty One by Lisa Ballantyne. Described as a deeply psychological and suspenseful, it's already an international phenomenon and one of the most talked about books of the year. Well, welcome now to my first guest, Lawrence Asadurian, did I say that correctly?
Indeed.
Who is the agent in the Middle East for Strad Europe. Lawrence, welcome to the programme. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, talk to us first of all. I love that quote, by the way. I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was really cool. Now, that was in 2006. I don't know if it does it still stand today that it's a unique investment?
Well, it certainly is a unique investment. Mm. You know, a lot of people in the financial markets haven't had a really good time since 2008. Mm. For us, it's been a booming market. The crisis hasn't affected us at all. It's actually encouraged sales. The reason being is simply because it's a sure asset. It's one that has gradually grown in over the last 300 years, and the return on investment every year hasn't gone down, only gone up. Even as lately, we've had almost 12% returns on these instruments as of 2011.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, there aren't many sure things sort of out there as far as guaranteed return or investment are concerned, are there?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's people get a sure investment, but I think investing in these beautiful instruments is... The financial aspects are just a bonus. I think the main reason that people acquire these beauties around the world is that they want to play a contributing role to ensuring that this world heritage is maintained for another 200 years to come. Mm. It's also the prestige of creating a legacy for yourself in attaching your name to one of these instruments that makes this investment so particular.
Mm. I tell you what, let's backtrack a little bit if we can, sure. Lawrence, and talk a little bit about your job as a broker.
Yes.
For these incredible instruments. And how did it happen? How did you land into this interesting job?
Well, I think the seeds of this job probably started when watching Fantasia as a child, and the musical exposure I received from my parents from a young age. But the moment really sort of solidified itself when, in a chance meeting in Paris in 2008, when Strad Europe was looking to explore the Middle East region, which is one of the regions that was slowly building up its portfolio in the performing arts. And I was very honored that Professor Wolfson selected me in representing his company, which was a huge challenge because the performing arts here in the Middle East, especially in Western classical music, still had a long ways to go, even though there's a number of institutions here that have been playing an important role in bringing it to light, whether it's the ADMAF in Abu Dhabi, whether it's the Abu Dhabi Festival in Offshoot, whether it's the Center for Musical Arts, which is a non-profit school run by Talat Badri. There's been many stakeholders trying to push the performing arts here, and I thought by bringing our worldwide experience and our worldwide connections to the performing arts, we could play a small role in establishing music further here.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, we started off talking about the instrument as an investment and then, of course, leading into it as being part of a possibly contributing to the growing musical arts scene. Do people play these instruments, though, or are they sort of in cases, in a safe, locked away, ready for, as you would a piece of jewellery or cash or something? I mean, have they been seen to promote musical scenes because of their presence, for example?
I'll give you a little anecdote that was told in a recent documentary on these instruments that PBS launched recently. And they say that a fine wine ages well, but eventually peaks. Beautiful artworks, museums go to great extents to try to protect them through glass or vaults. But a Stradivari, for the last 300 years, have been waking up every morning and going to work. They are played by the most renowned musicians in the world, and they are used every single day. So, absolutely. That's what's the true magic of the instruments, is that they've been around for 300 years. They've been in the back of cabs. They've been in concert halls all across the country, in the hands of musicians, and they've still survived. And they're still no one has made a better violin until now.
And so, how many are there? Do you know?
There are different accounts, but we'd say a good number is about anywhere between 400 to 600 pieces left in the world, out of which 200 are considered pristine condition, as if they were just off the shelf.
And you know where each one of those is, there's a provenance of them, you can trace them.
Absolutely. I mean, the great thing about these instruments, whether it's Stradivari or Guarneri del Gesso, is that they were commissioned by the European royalty and aristocracy 250, 300 years ago. And they've always been in the hands of this aristocracy over the decades, as well as very important philanthropists, and also now multinational companies have invested in these instruments. So we've been able to, you can actually track these instruments back to when they came out of the atelier. And some of the paperwork is actually worth quite a bit of money as well.
Wow. And what makes them so special? I was reading about them, and apparently it's the particular kind of wood that they were made from, and some say that it's not, that you just can't find that kind of wood anymore due to various different climatic conditional changes and etc. But you know, what do you think? What makes them so special?
Well, there are two main theories. The first is that, as you mentioned, is the wood. So Europe was going through a mini ice age at the time, so the wood was a lot more dense. But then again, there were many other violin makers at the time. Why did Antonio stand out? So that's one theory. The second is the varnish. And of course, with the technology advancements and scientific advancements of today, people are able to know exactly what the varnish is made of, but don't necessarily know the composition, the exact composition or formula. Those are the two main theories, the varnish and the wood. But again, the true magic about these instruments is really nobody has made a better instrument, and it's not us, the brokers, that say it. It's the world famous musicians over the last 300 years. It's the maestros. It's the music. It's the classical music community as a whole that keep wanting these instruments and would do anything to get their hands on one.
Mm. But it is interesting. I mean, I suppose just to sort of throw a stick in the spokes, if you like, there have been a number of articles where they've done lots of various different tests with musicians, and they've blindfolded them or part blindfolded them and given them an array of violins from this, you know, the Stradivari. Is that the plural of Stradivarius?
Stradivarius instruments, yeah.
Okay. And then just the, I suppose, an average violin, so to speak. And they've asked them to play them. And they've also had the audience, for example, blindfolded. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they didn't come out on top. Like, people did not know that they were playing one of these instruments. I mean, this is particular tests. I mean, they have, of course, many people have disputed the facts and said it wasn't fair because of various different reasons, etc. But what would you say to that?
Well, I think the most recent story that you may be referring to is a university researcher from the University of Paris who conducted a study in the United States. Now, what a lot of the articles don't divulge is that the study was done in the hotel bedroom close to where all the violinists were united for a performance.
Right.
When you're playing in a 40 square foot hotel room, the acoustics are not particularly adequate to really make a specific test. What I will say is that, and more importantly also I'd like to add, is that the instruments used were instruments that had actual damages to them. So the three strads that were used the backs were replaced. Now, I'm not particularly trying to vouch for Antonio Stradivari compared to modern violin makers who produce exceptional violins. I think the real test will be to see if those violins are still in their condition in 300 years.
Yeah, right.
I also think that there's no real modern violin out there that can produce the same sound as a Stradivari in terms of distance. We have to realize that Antonio Stradivari built a lot of these instruments before the major musical movements of Europe.
Mm.
So before Beethoven, before Mozart, and these instruments play exceptionally well in a small space.
Right.
But without we didn't have the technology of acoustics back then. And when major concert halls and the major symphonies of Europe were created, these instruments still were able to project their sound to the very back of the audience. And I think the most strong lovers of classical music and of these violins would say it's a celestial hand in the craftsmanship of Antonio Stradivari that no one has been able to do better so far.
It's interesting, isn't it? I know there's always you can see these headline stories and I'm sure they do. That's why they make the headlines, because it's a bit sensationalist. But when you look at the details, this is quite interesting what you were saying.
But they still, I mean, even with all these stories, and this most recent story wasn't the latest. There's been a lot of blind tests over the decades. But if you look at the Lady Blunt Stradivari violin sold for by the Nippon company in order to raise funds for the Japanese tsunami, was sold for $15.6 million.
Who bought that? Do we know who bought it?
No. often these things are kept very, very confidential. Most of the people who buy like to remain anonymous. They like their participation to be one that is close to their heart. It's only very few people that like to announce that they've purchased these violins. Recently the Russian government has bought for the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg has bought a very large collection that used to belong to Dr. Fulton in the United States. So these violins are still commanding, excessive prices and very important prices. If the violins were the best, then the market price would probably go down.
True. It kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Lawrence, we must take a quick break, first one of the hour, but we'll come back. We've got lots more questions for you. Do stay with us. Any questions at all for Lawrence Asaduran, who is an agent in the Middle East for Strad Europe? We're talking about these fantastic Stradivarius violins and what they're all about. How many are there? And a little bit, I think, when we come back, about Strad Europe and really what you do in the region.